Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
There in your bulletin, and we're in a series that we've entitled Relationships, God Growing Us. Last week we looked at men, today we're going to look at women. Now you say, Pastor, why do we do this? Well, there's two reasons. Number one, I need to understand who I am. And when we talk about men and their needs, I need to understand that's a need that I have in my life, and I need to accept that and deal with it. Secondly, it also helps other people to know how to deal with us. And God says, look, I want you to have relationships. And your relationships that you have will determine how great your life is. Bad relationships, bad life. Relationships good, life's good. He says, I want you to learn that. And in order to do that, you're going to have to grow, because relationships are not simple, they're not easy, they are difficult, and it takes someone who is maturing in order to have healthy relationships. And God says, I'm going to put you there in the world, I'm going to give you the relationships that you need to have, and how you handle them will determine how much you can grow in me. So this morning we're going to look at secure women. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. To make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. And as the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, see, we're very good at getting to the part we took that last week where it was women submit, and we too many people stop there. But you see, God also gives us a job description for us men as husbands of how we're to treat our wives. And he says the bottom line is this, guys. What you're to do is to die for her. You're to lay down your life and live for her and not for yourself. Now, how many would agree with me? That's a little harder than just submitting. Okay? So I think sometimes us men don't realize the job description we have. And the way we men are to love our wives is the same way Christ loves us and loved the church. And we lay down our lives as men for Jesus Christ, and we lay down our lives for our wife. You and I are called to do that. That's what makes a healthy relationship. And at the bottom line of this, as we've talked about all through relationships, if I'm going to have good relationships, what happens? I can't be selfish. I don't get to live for me. I have to live for other people. So when I understand that, I can begin to meet the needs of somebody else. So as a man, I need to understand, what are the needs that my wife has so that I can lay down my life for her? What are the needs women have? Well, there's three of them we're going to look at this morning. The first one is communication. Communication. Now, I got a newsflash for you guys. A woman wants you to talk to her. And women don't want the headlines. Women don't want the bottom line. They want the whole story. Tell them how you feel. Make it up if you need to. Just tell them. A man understands something. You don't have to talk just about feelings. You talk about what is going on in your life. Talk about what you're dealing with in life. Explain and discuss the things that are happening in your life. You don't have to talk about how you feel about them, but you need to talk about what is happening to them and what's going on. And you connect, and men connect with women with words. Most women have an affair because someone will listen to her. To share. I need to share a part of me. Now here's the deal. You need to understand this. Women think and feel at the same time. Her thoughts and her feelings are not disconnected. They're together. Her heart and her mind are connected. Now we men are not that talented. Okay? Men either think or either feel. And 98% of the time, we think. Okay? Didn't say we're smart. I just said we're thinking. But when you ask us what's on our mind, we don't have a clue. What are you thinking about? I don't know. That's an honest answer a lot of times. And so, you know, you and I have to understand that most of the time, men are in the thinking part of things. And when a man hears a woman say something like this, I want to talk. Immediately, our minds go to this thought. Ladies, don't miss this. Immediately, we think, what's wrong? What's wrong? Now, men, stop thinking that. Ladies, understand it. You know, we think there's a problem. And so we go to that thinking part of us. We don't go to the feeling part of it. And what does the thinking part want to do? It wants to fix. It wants to solve. It wants to eliminate the problem. Hey, there's a problem. Tell me what it is. I'll fix it. Now, women, let me just tell you something. If you want to talk, talk. One of the most awkward things for me is my wife will come to me and say, I want to talk. And I'm going, okay, fine. But then she looks at me like, you start. And I'm going, hold it here. Me start? I'm not the one who said, you know, you want to talk? Fine. Start talking. I'll listen. And man, that's what you need to learn to do. You need to come to a place where you recognize that you don't always have to have answers, that many times you just simply need to listen. Now, I'm going to show you a bad example of listening, okay? Got a little video clip. I want to show you a bad example of what not to do. I maybe have a video clip. Okay, I'll go on. You know, you and I come to that place where we understand we need to talk. Now, women, please help us. Be brief as you can. Okay? And by brief, I'm talking about, could it be done in 5-10 minutes and not an hour? You know, could we kind of stay on track? You know, us guys, we're not good at wandering around. We're horrible at attaching words to our emotions. We need to listen. Men, you need to learn to ask questions. Here's what you need to understand. The longer you can talk with your wife, the closer she feels to you. The longer you can keep conversation going, the closer she feels. And so you listen. You never talk down to her. Never. Ladies, when us guys say something, you look good today, don't come back with, oh yeah, right. When you say that, a man says, well, why bother? I tried. I said something nice. All that happened was I was put down again. Conversation's hard, isn't it? Conversation and communication is difficult. You see, you and I need to understand that it's important how we communicate. And man, let me just tell you a little secret. When you learn to connect and to communicate to a woman, it will be easier for you to connect with God. Because in our relationship with God, we need to talk with Him, don't we? We need to have conversations with Him. And men aren't very good at that. So man, I'm telling you today, one of the needs of a woman is communication. She needs to talk, and she needs to hear you talk. Well, I'm not comfortable with that. Huff. Well, I'm not good at that. Start practicing. You lay down your life. You stop thinking about you. And as a husband, you are willing to lay down your life for your spouse. And you are willing to do what they need, not just what you need. It's not about you, men. It's about them. And you need to understand, conversation needs to happen. Communication needs to take place. And there needs to be an understanding and a working relationship of communicating. Now, let me just tell you something. I don't care how long you've been married. You maybe have been married for a year. You've maybe been married for 50 years. Communication still takes work. It still takes effort. But it's part of what we do, because when we love someone as a man, our wife, we are willing to lay down our life for them. Keep working at it. Keep working with it. So one of the needs is communication. Second need, leadership. Leadership. A woman wants a man to lead. Now, men, hear me. I did not say dominate. I did not say be a tyrant. A woman does not want someone to be a boss. She wants someone to leave. The most destructive and dysfunctional homes are the ones where there's a domineering person. Nothing worse for a home than a domineering man. Leadership simply means this: I'll initiate. I'll take the responsibility to go in the right direction. I'll take the responsibility to set the example. I'll take the responsibility that is mine. You know, want to be the man of the house? Good, man up. Start being the leader that God intended you to do. Now, I've got three areas where you need to lead in, men. First one is the most important, in spiritual matters. Spiritual matters. You talk to the women in this congregation today, and I will guarantee you that almost all of them, the number one thing they want in their husband is to be the spiritual leader of their home. They want him to lead. Well, I'm not good at this and that. Hold it. Let me just break it down very simple for you. Here's leadership. When you got up this morning, your wife didn't have to look at you to see, are we going to church today or not? She didn't have to question it. You've already determined, we're going. We're going to be there. We want to be there. She doesn't have to drag you along. You didn't come with her today because it's Mother's Day and I got to go so I get, you know, some points or something. You take the initiative. You see, here's the deal, men. We want our wives to trust us. If you want your wife to trust you, the greatest thing you can do to earn her trust is to let her see by the way that you live that you are trying to serve and honor God in your life. And when you are willing to serve God and to follow God and are doing your best, not being perfect, not being completely innocent, not being, oh, he's way up here, just being a man who, I'm doing everything I can to please God, to serve God, then that helps your wife trust you. And if you're not doing that, she looks at you and goes, why should I trust you? Is that clear? Okay, it must be. It's real quiet, so I guess it's okay. So, your wife wants you to be a leader in spiritual matters. She wants you to be the one who sets the tone for the home. She wants you to be the one who sets the tone in life. She wants to see that you're at least putting forth the energy and effort to honor God in the way that you live. And if you will do that, your wife will have a much easier ability to trust you. And if you don't do it, trust is really hard for her. I'll go on. Second thing, children. Children. Men need to be involved in the lives of their kids. Men, your presence is needed in your children's lives. And you cannot be and should not be an absentee father. Our nation is struggling enough because dads won't take the responsibility to help raise their kids. And don't wait until your wife has had it with the kids and you got to step in. Don't you just sit there at night watching the television while your wife does all the work with your children. Don't allow your kids to talk back to your wife. The moment you hear that, you put an end to it real quick. And if the woman is the leader in discipline, it is not good for the kids. Now, ladies, you need to discipline. But men, you need to be involved. And when he gets involved, ladies, let him do it and don't be critical of the way he does things. You've got a problem, you talk about it when you're alone, never in front of the kids. But a wife wants her husband to be involved in raising the kids. Wants him to be involved in taking responsibility. Wants to know that she's not alone in doing this. Are we together in this? Are we going down the right course together with this? And every woman wants to be led in that way. Third place in there, a lady wants to be led is in romance. Romance. Now, men, listen. You do not define romance as sex. All right? Your wife still wants to be courted. She wants to know that she's still desirable to you. Before you were married, you courted your wife. You actually talked to her. You actually initiated things. You actually took the lead. You were responsive. A woman loves romance. Then, take the lead. Be romantic. Now, Pastor, all that girl stuff. Lay down your life as Christ died for the church. You die for your spouse. And you do what is needed for them, not for you. And a woman wants the man to be the leader. Now, if he won't, she will step in. And if she does, men, you've got no one to blame but yourself. So will you lead spiritually? Will you lead in your family? And will you lead in the romantic side of your relationship? Next, third one. Security. Security. This is the greatest need of a woman. Many women are very insecure. Insecure about how they look. Insecure about what's going on in their life. And women struggle with this. And so you and as a man need to make your wife feel secure. Now if you say anything that makes her feel insecure, she stops hearing you. She's no longer listening. Her mind and her feelings are going off. See, I'm not this good. I'm not this. And she's good at beating herself up. And we as a man and we as a husband are called to help raise the level and raise the bar in our life. We're to lay down our life for her so that she can have life. Now, what gives her security? Well, we've already talked a little bit about it. She wants to know that she can trust you. She wants to know that you're faithful. She wants to know that you're going to do what's right. She wants to know that you're honest. That you will always be there for her. That you will take care of her. Someone who feels abandoned does not feel secure, do they? The way you talk to her and the way you lead determines her security. Man, it's almost as quiet this day as it was last week. You and I need to understand how critical this is for women. Women need security. That is a need. Just like a man needs significance, a woman needs security. And men, we get the great privilege of helping our wives be secure in life. Now, here's the problem. If you're married to each other, and if, ladies, you try to get security on your own, I think a lot of women work today because it makes them feel more secure. And men, if you're trying to get significance in your life and you try to do that on your own and you try to be the man and you man up and power up because that's what you need and that's what you want, you try to get it on your own. If you try to do this on your own, you will destroy your relationship. But if, ladies, you will do everything you can to meet the needs of your spouse by making him feel significant, and men, if you will do everything you can to make your wife feel secure, you will have a healthy relationship. Now, as we've talked about all through this series, that's not an easy thing to do, is it? In fact, it takes an adult, mature person to do that, doesn't it? Now, some of you are adults by age, but you're not mature. And the way you're treating your spouse is evidence of that. And it means you're willing to not have to have your way and do it like you want. You are willing to lay down your life for another. It becomes critical in the relationship. You see, relationships are healthy because you're willing to give yourself to somebody else. That's true of a friend that we've talked about. That's true in all cases, isn't it? You see, my relationship with God, isn't that what I do with God? I lay down my life for Him, right? So that's the principle of life. Now let me give you an area where we're going to talk about this security issue. And women need financial security. Now, men, you need to be responsible. And by that I say this. I am not saying a woman can't keep charge of the books or write the checks or anything else. Did everybody hear that? All right. But what I am saying, men, you can't go to work, get the paycheck, walk home, here it is, throw it in her lap and say, here, you take care of it. Don't bother me anymore. And then you complain when she comes to you and says, hey, we're a little short, and you want to go to her. What'd you do with everything? That's irresponsible and that's immature, men. You need to be involved in what's going on financially. Well, I don't care. I just don't want to know what's going on. You got to know what's going on. And so you come to that place where you and I understand that I need to be involved. I need to be involved in financial decisions. I need to be involved in budget decisions. Because if you're not careful, your finances begin to be emotionally dictated. And if you make your money and make your finances built on emotion, you are going to find yourself in financial problems. Financial decisions are budget decisions. You see, you come to that place where, let's say, one of the partners comes and says, you know what, we really would like to have some new furniture in the living room. What do you say? And the other partner goes, well, let's see what Mr. Budget has to say. Ooh, I'm sorry, Mr. Budget says no. Now, that wasn't an emotional decision, was it? But it was a sound financial decision. Sometimes Mr. Budget says yes. And if both people aren't involved in the finances, and hear me, I believe this is why so many families are struggling financially, is because both people aren't involved in the finances of their home. It's relegated to one person. And that person controls and dictates and does everything, and the other person only gets involved when they have to. And when you do that, you're going to create a financial mess. So there needs to be financial security. Now, please hear me. You and I need to understand something. We want trust. We need to have trust. Then handle money wisely. But as a husband and wife, you need to understand money cannot buy you happiness. But money problems will create a lot of tension. We need to understand that God is the provider. That's why men, if you're the spiritual leader, you can help set the tone in your home to handle money rightly, but also begin to develop the attitude, God is our source and our checkbook isn't. And we are simply stewards of what God has given to us, and we'll do this. And we need to tithe. I can't tell you how many ladies I've had come to me over the years, very seldom a man, a lot of women, who have said, you know, I really want to tithe, but my husband won't. What do I do? Now, men, here's my answer. I think you need to be careful and you need to do what your husband's telling you to do. If you think you can give the money and he's going to be okay with it, do it. But if he's watching it and you know it's going to create a problem, don't do it. And to that husband, I'd like to say, you deserve every problem you've got in your home. Because you're unwilling to lead and you're setting a horrible example spiritually. There needs to be agreement. When that happens, there's security, isn't there? Now, every person in this room has money problems. But money problems are much easier to deal with when you have two people who are in agreement, who are working together and honoring God in the midst of it. And so I need to provide security to my spouse. I need to let them know they're valuable. I need to let them know they mean something to me. I need to emotionally build up, not tear down. I need to be someone who will not make fun of her fears. I need to be someone who she knows will care for her no matter what happens. I need to be someone who will put her needs above mine. I need to be someone who will not be selfish in my life. Selfish people destroy marriages. You see, if you're only living for you and you're trying to be the king or the queen of the castle and everything's about you and you're just trying to get what you want, you will destroy your home. But when two people are willing to lay down their lives for one another, when two people are willing to do everything they can to meet the needs of another person, Jesus Christ puts it this way. If you want to be great, become the least. And you learn and you grow by serving one another. That's the type of leadership Jesus Christ had, wasn't it? He was a servant leader. He led through his service. And that's who God calls us to be. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. And he laid down his life for us. And when the Bible has given us directions on how a wife and a husband are to operate, do you notice that in the midst of those directions, God puts himself in it? And he says, look at the example of Jesus Christ. Look at what he did. Look at how he operated. Look at the pattern that he set for you. Follow his example. And you and I are called to be a people who are willing to follow the example that God has set for us. And what did he do? Jesus Christ came into this world and he laid down his life for us. And then he turns to us and says, if you're going to be my follower, I want you to lay down your life for others. Today, day in our country, we celebrate Mother's Day. In my mind, we just celebrate women in general. Because there's a lot of women who have sacrificed a lot for this country and for our homes. And they deserve to be recognized. And you and I come to a place now as men today, are we going to give our wife the security that she needs? Are we going to be the leader that God created us to be and wants it to be? And are we going to lead in a godly way, or are we going to try to be an abusive authoritarian, which will do nothing than destroy the lives of family members? And are we going to learn to communicate our love? Are we going to communicate our care? Are we going to be willing to give of ourselves? Even in the areas where I'm not good at, am I still going to be willing to put someone else's needs above my own? You see, in a home, when you have people in that home who are willing to put their needs above others, then you have a healthy home and a happy home, don't you? But in a home where you have selfish people who are living for themselves and only think about them and want everything to be what they want, you have a home that's unhealthy and unhappy. And today, God says, look, I made you for relationships. I made relationships to be a critical part of your life. And through those relationships, I'm going to help you grow up. I'm going to help you be a better person. I'm going to help you be a better Christian. And if you'll follow my example, and if you'll follow my directions, then you will be a mature believer in Jesus Christ. And if you don't, immaturity will haunt you the entire days of your life. Relationships. God growing us to be the people He intended it to be. God made us as we are. He made men the way He intended to do. He made women the way He intended to make them. And the way we have a healthy relationship is that when we are willing to lay down our lives for those in our home. Let's pray.